I want to try to even explain that. Revive us again. I just returned from a trip back to Tennessee to visit my mom. And while at home, I stayed in the house where my dad and mom have lived for many years, and where I've had many wonderful conversations, primarily with my dad on things concerning the kingdom, things about life and about preaching, about shepherding flocks that he was so good at, and basically just about the king and his kingdom. And I remember sitting in that office of his for over 20 years, having conversations with him about many issues in life. And he's been gone now for about 2.5 years. And so when I was there with my mom, and she was in the hospital in the rehab center, and so I'd go home and just stay there in the house and sit at his desk and sit in his chair and look at all the pictures around, and got very nostalgic about that. And I found myself asking out loud, "Dad, what would you say to me now? If he could come back from the grave and knowing what life is like on the other side, I'd love to ask him, what would you say to me now?" Let me say, I've been thinking a lot about that, about you. You know, there's a lot of commencement addresses being given right now, last month and this month, from high school graduates, college graduates. A commencement address is usually a speech given by someone who's lived a little of life and has been long graduated and has some experiences in life and can offer some wisdom about what's out there, about what to expect about in the world and how to go out and be motivated to do something to make a difference in the world. A commencement address is supposed to be both motivational and memorable. Over the years, I've tried to do a few of these with high school graduates. I remember the first one that I did was in 1993. That was our first high school graduates from this congregation. That, from at least from my perspective, from my life. So I'd like to say some things to Cade and Cammie and Morgan and Danny and Jenna and Ethan and Anna. What wisdom could I offer you that be both motivational and memorable? I don't have the wisdom of Solomon. I don't have the eloquence of Apollos. I certainly don't have the brilliance of Paul. But I think I'd give you what I would say to my own kids. Too bad you guys are sitting over there. Why aren't you sitting right here? I don't want to be doing this all night. But I will remember the panic of 2002. You don't remember that, but I do. I called it the panic of 2002. That was the year my son Ryan graduated. He was my oldest. And I well remember waking up with a sweat. It was about a few days before his actual graduation. And I just this was in panic mode. It was from a vow that I had made that I remembered distinctly making the day that he was born. I was in the delivery room, and I got a chance to hold him moments after birth. And I remember vowing to God, making a vow to God. And I know what the Bible says about making vows. Make few of them and keep the ones you make. And I made a vow to God. I quoted Proverbs 22 and verse 6, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I also quoted Ephesians 6 and in verse 4, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And I made a vow to God that night that I would keep that. I would train my child in the way of the Lord, and I would train him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And now here I am in a panic mode, thinking, is there anything else that I can say, anything else that I can do, anything else that I can show, anything else that I can yet do, because he's about to fly the coop. He's about to sprout his wings and fly away. And so what am I going to do? I didn't have that panic so much with Jesse. I won't go into that. It was far more than panic. But I think every parent feels that panic. Right, guys? Some of you parents, you feel that panic. And those of you who have already graduated kids, you feel, you know what I'm talking about. While I'm not your dad, I do feel responsible as a gospel preacher and as a shepherd of this flock to offer you some advice as you go out into the world. What wisdom can I give you? And I searched through my mind about what I'd like to say, and I found a passage that I want, that I would give to my kids, that I would give to you, and that's found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. It reads thus, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You understand from the reading of that text that God exalted his son Jesus. And what he means by that is above every name. It means of all the people that have ever lived on planet Earth, all the ones that God has intimate knowledge of from Adam to the day of Jesus Christ or until when Paul wrote this letter. He simply was saying that of all the men who've ever lived, Jesus is the only one that I would point to and say, follow him. His name is above every name. He is the greatest man who's ever lived. And he's worthy of your imitation and example. God said that that Jesus was so great that one day every knee that had already passed on, that was in other words, they were under the earth, those who are now here and those who will yet come, every knee that has ever been, man or woman, will bow the knee. And with the tongue, they will confess that Jesus is Lord. And they will do it all to the glory of God. To confess Jesus is Lord is far more than making a one-time confession when you're baptized. We all have done that. Just recently heard the Simons. To confess Jesus is Lord is the thing that I would encourage you to consider doing every morning when you get up. Whether you go off to college or you go off to pursue some career, the greatest thing you can do when you get up in the mornings is to say to Jesus, "You're my Lord today, and I confess you as my Lord." And so when you bow the knee on this earth and you confess Jesus as Lord, you will make progress in the course of that day. And no matter what else you might be pursuing, whether it's academics, whether it's a job, whether it's a career of other sorts, by confessing Jesus as your Lord, you will be a success in life. In Philippians chapter 3, he says in verses 8 through following, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." If that's not a commencement address, I don't know what is. You can just picture Paul saying, "I've gained a lot academically. I've gained a lot career-wise in the Jewish world. I've reached the pinnacle of success as the Jewish people would have seen it." And he says, I count it all but dung. It's just manure. It's a waste compared to getting to know Jesus Christ. When Paul had confessed Jesus as Lord, he made it his mission, his life, his goal to press to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. And when I think about what Paul would say to us here, what he would say to each of you, he would say, when you get up in the morning, remember who you are. Remember who Jesus is in your life. I think all of us know from people even in this congregation who once graduated from school, they were Christians. They're not anymore. They're not Christians anymore. Something happened between here and there. They lost their way. They left their faith. Some of them don't even believe in God anymore. And you go, how did that happen? I'll never forget the first graduating class in my preaching life. It was in Marvel, Arkansas. There were 22 kids between the 10th through the 12th grade the year that I moved there. 20 of them left the faith. 20 out of 22 left the faith. And I said, what happened? What went wrong? How did that take place? And if you'd asked them at that moment, are you going to be faithful to the Lord? They would have all said, sure. They all came to church. They all were in Bible classes. They did all those things. But yet they left the Lord. And you go, how did that happen? It's because I believe every single day they didn't get up and make a recommitment to Jesus Christ and say, you're my Lord today. And I pressed toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. I'm going to forget everything that's behind. I'm going to reach forward to that which lies ahead. You know, I think about Solomon and all of his wisdom giving a commencement to his own children. You know, he did that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I want to read you this that chapter now because it is Solomon's inspired wisdom that he gave to his boy. Ecclesiastes 12, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men bow down. When the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim. When the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also they are afraid of height and the terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher shattered at the fountain. Or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. It's kind of interesting. Before I finish that, I want you to think about what I was witnessing over the last week. I spent 4 days in old folks' home, rehab center, whatever you want to call it, but everybody in there was in their 80s, 90s, and probably above. And this is a perfect description of how they saw life. Their life was past them. Many of them were given up on life. They had no desires left in this life. There was no rainbow after a storm. Life was meaningless almost to most everybody that I passed from room to room to room. And I went to another one when I went to see my mom. And at room after room after room, people were living life without any desires. And you just saw the despondency and you saw the hopelessness in so many. And that's why Solomon would say, in your youth, remember God. So you can come to the point where when you come to that part in life, you can live without regret. When the desires of this world fail, you didn't live for that anyway. You lived for something far greater. And that's why he goes on to say in verse 8, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. He pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, they prod you. The words of the scholars are like well-driven nails. They'll stick. Given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished of these. Of the making of many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Do I hear an amen over here in this corner for that? And so he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Obviously, Solomon is saying to his sons, you're going to grow old too, and you're going to go back to the earth from whence you came. And in the moment of that decision, when you breathe your last, I pray God that you have not forgot God. If you'll remember him now and every morning when you get up, remember to fear God and to keep his commandments. Every day, make a recommitment, a renewed commitment that Jesus will be your Lord every single day. How are you going to go about doing that? It's easy to say it, but I want to make a challenge before I finish this lesson. There's a statement in John 21, verses 24 and 25. It's the last two verses of John that I want you to think about with me for a second before I give you this challenge. John 21, this is John. And everybody who knows John knows that John was probably the closest person to Jesus Christ in their lifetime. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was the disciple that was always in the inner circle. He was the disciple that was there in his life and in his death and in his resurrection. And he was there for 60 years beyond that. When the other ones had all been killed, he was still there preaching Jesus. And he says these words late in life, 60 years after the life of Christ, that this is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I would suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that could be written. Amen. I want you to think how much you've learned about Jesus over the last 18 years. Remember the first time you sang, Jesus loves me? I remember at those vacation Bible school times when we would sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. And the wise man built his house on the rock, and all those other songs that we would sing together. Until you continued to grow and you learned the plan of salvation and you learned other books of the Bible. But this is the commencement address that I want you to think about. Books have been written about Jesus Christ, and there's a lot we would like to have written, but we're not. But the ones that were written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if I could give you one piece of advice, it would be every day you get up, read something from the life of Jesus. Read something about his life from an inspired man. Years ago, I was very intrigued by the life of Lincoln. And I read the entire 7-volume series of Carl Sandburg on the life of Lincoln. He had spent 2 decades putting that material together in the study of it, and it's the classic on Lincoln. Can you imagine dedicating 20 years of your life to the study of one man's life? James Boswell was a famous biographer of a man named Samuel Johnson. You might not even know who Samuel Johnson is, but in the 1700s, he wrote the first English dictionary. If you ever heard of the Oxford English Dictionary, it's greatly influenced by the life of Samuel Johnson. Much of what we know in the English literature of our world today was because of a man, Samuel Johnson. And Boswell dedicated his life to learning about this man and writing about this man. At the age of 20, he committed his life to learning as much as he could about Johnson, interviewed him, lived in among him for 22 years before he wrote his ultimate biography. I can't imagine doing that. I've always enjoyed World War II stuff, and Stephen Ambrose wrote a 3-volume classic on Dwight Eisenhower, and it's just tremendous writings of this man. And I'm thinking of all that to think of, what about writing a life of Jesus Christ? John himself said, there's no way you could possibly do that. But to do that would be to think about the life of Christ every day would be such a life-changing experience. My favorite book in my library is a book written by R.C. Foster. It was a 3-volume set when it was originally published. And it was called The Life of Christ. And it really helped change the way I think about Jesus Christ. He made me go back to the Gospels and read them again and again and again and again. He challenged me to memorize large portions of the life of the sermons of Jesus and to memorize all 37 of his known miracles that we have recorded, to study his 30-plus parables that he got and to know them by the back of your hand. And I set out for years doing that in the first early years of my life to learn as much as I could about Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, that changed my life. I wake up in the mornings and I think about Jesus Christ. I think about what he means to me, and I think about how he has changed my life. And I would encourage you to do the same. And therefore, if you do that, trust me, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You will not be a statistic on the ash heap of history that you have lost your faith, that you are the one who went astray. You were the sheep that was lost and was never found. I encourage you to think about this, to study the life of Jesus Christ every single day. If nothing more than just a few minutes, picking out a text and begin to read through the Gospels. Pick out just a paragraph. Pick out just a quote and dwell on that every single day. As you go through your academic pursuits in college, your professors and others might be those who try to persuade you otherwise than the faith in Christ. But if you will lock in with Jesus Christ every day, and remember this, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true and living God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is eternal life, to know God through Jesus Christ. It was Philip who said, "Show us the Father and it suffices us." And Jesus said, "Have I been so long with you and you don't know who the Father is? I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And everything that I've done in this world is an imitation and a mimicking of what I knew from my Father in heaven. I knew him intimately there from eternity past into eternity future. And I know every detail about him, and everything that I've done in this world is mimicking what my Father would say and do. And therefore, it behooves us to study the life of Jesus that we might know God, and knowing God in Jesus Christ is eternal life. When I confess Jesus, it's more than a one-time confession. It's a lifetime commitment. And I'm encouraging you to think seriously about that. To every single day, get up and say, I'm going to learn something about Jesus, my Lord. One day I'm going to bow the knee and I'm going to confess him. But what I want to confess is, I want to confess how well I know him. I want to be able to spend time with him in heaven and be able to ask about this parable or about that sermon or about this miracle. And to get into more of the details, to go into the weeds that John didn't allow us to see, or Matthew or Mark or Luke. And I want to know every detail about him and what made him who he was, the one and only perfect one. The one that God said, there's many other names that have been written. There's other names that could be exalted, but none can be exalted more than my Son. To read a gospel every single day. In fact, I would ask you to commit to the reading of one gospel every month. Pick out Matthew. Recognize this, guys? We're going to start this next Sunday. And what we're going to do is, we're going to, at least for the time that you're going to still be here, we're going to dig into the Gospel of Matthew. And just commit to that and stay the course after you get done with our class. Just keep going. I'm going to learn Matthew, and then I'm going to learn Mark, and I'm going to learn Luke, and I'm going to learn John. I'm going to learn his sermons, and I'm going to learn his parables, and I'm going to learn his miracles. I'm going to learn the passion of Jesus Christ and his death and his burial and his resurrection. I'm going to learn what it means to make him King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this commitment. Please don't become a statistic. I hope you'll remember this commencement address. I listen to other commencement addresses on the secular world, and you hear them, and they're challenging them to get out and conquer the world and make a difference and all of that. Right in the corner where you are, your roommate, somebody in college, somebody at work, just brighten the corner where you are and share Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Stand up, speak up, and show up for him. and tell the world that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and do it every single day. Because one day the knee will bow, and one day the tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But if you've been doing it every single day here, you will say, Maranatha. You will say, come, Lord. I've been confessing you here so that I can confess you there. And if you do that now here, then you won't become one of these terrible statistics that we speak of. My panic of 2002 and 4 and 7 is all history now. Your parents might be panic-stricken at this moment. But if you will truly, at this moment, make a commitment that I'm going to learn a little bit about Jesus, my Lord, every single day, they can now sleep better at night and rest in peace. What would my dad say now? I would suppose my dad would say, wait till you see what's coming. Live for the reward up there, not the one here. I'm sure that my dad would say that to me now. Thank you for your time. We're going to sing a song, and I want you to think about the song that we're about to sing. Get it up here for you so that you can see it. When we all get to heaven, when we all get to heaven, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We all get to heaven only when we bow the knee and with the tongue confess. And I'm encouraging you to begin a life, if you haven't already, on a day-by-day basis, waking up and saying, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And let's sing about heaven now so that we can one day sing together when we all get to heaven. Let's stand and sing.
Sing the wondrous song.